Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. We give everyone a warm welcome. In the name of the Lord, Sean, who was here still tonight. I really enjoyed the meetings. I know, I'm sure everyone did. We really appreciate our brother Andrew and his ministry that the Lord's given them. And I want to thank everyone that was able to give, and we were able to give our brother a really good offering. And we appreciate that. I want to thank Gary as well, and Sister Ruth, for putting Andrew up, and it's really good, isn't it? And we're able to do that, and I'm hoping he'll come back again before Christmas, and Christmas is not far away, but I want him to come back soon if he can. I know he's a few more invitations when he goes home to preach, so just pray that the Lord would bless him and strengthen him. Amen. And the Lord bless each one. I went to see Davey West last night in hospital, and he's been passing blood and different things. They're doing a lot of tests on him. So keep Davey in prayer as well. And then I'm on a visit tomorrow night as well, members from the fellowship here. But tonight I just want to share with you, I want us to try and get where we can pray more for Israel. Now, whether I can manage to encourage you to do that, myself to do it, I don't know, but that's what I'm going to try and do tonight. And how I'm going to do that, I'm going to share with you the uniqueness of Israel as a nation and show you things what cannot be said of any other nation under the heavens. Israel is absolutely unique. And we're going to read from Chronicles chapter 1, verse 17 in a moment, but just let us pray again this evening. And if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord while every head's bowed and every eye closed. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we thank you for your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you tonight that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sin. We thank you this evening that we have open access from your throne room, from this footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the new and living way of the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. We plead the merits of that precious blood tonight over our lives afresh and especially over our children. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll save every one of them, representative in this service. We pray for every hand raised in this room tonight that you will indeed meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Pray, Lord, for Davey West. You'll bless him and heal him. And above all, you'll save him. Let the Holy Spirit do a work within him. Open his understanding and bring him to the saving knowledge of the truth. Lord, I pray you'll give me your great wisdom. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn to Chronicles, but I just want to just share with you some things as we're getting ready to turn to Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 17:21. There's no other nation, I want to say, like Israel. No other nation. The scriptures make it abundantly clear. The nation of Israel describes the nation descended from Abraham, from Isaac, and from Jacob. And remember, Jacob was renamed Israel. And from his 12 sons derived the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, later they were called Jews. They were first Israel, but they were later called Jews. And the Jews in Israel are the same. They are the same. Now, I know that all that says they're Israel are Jews or not. And I know that all that says they're the church are not the church either. But that doesn't bother me. We know there's a real. So we'll concentrate on the real. Amen. There's a real church and there's a real Israel. Amen. In the New Testament, the name Israel occurs 77 times. Listen to these statistics. And these references are never applied to the church. They're to Israel. So when I tell you that the name Israel is applied 77 times to Israel, I'm not talking about naming the church that. That's Israel. That is specifically to Israel. It is never once in a reference to the church. There is things reference to the church, but 77 times it's talking to Israel. The word Jews occurs 75 times in the Old Testament and 188 times in the New Testament. How many times do you think the name Christian is mentioned in the New Testament? 3 times. But the word Israel and the word Jews, look how many times they're mentioned. We need to give that attention. Because if God says something so many times, we need to think about it. It's been said so many times for a reason. These are just scriptural facts. Now, when you think of the word Christian 3 times in the New Testament, and these numbers show us how significant God placed on the nation of Israel as a people, God placed a great importance on the nation of Israel. A great importance. And the people of Israel are a unique people. You'll hear the politicians on, and you'll hear Sinn Féin on and all the rest of whatever the column says. I've no interest in them. They're all a bunch of hypocrites as far as I'm concerned. And they're all worried about this other group, how they're going to do this and how they're going to do that. But bless your heart, what did they do? What they done for them? Why did they start something and then cry out the whole world? And 95% of what you'll see will be propaganda. And if the fuel sent in, which are crying about over all your televisions, radios, and everywhere, they're gurning at the minute, looking fuel, and this child's going to die, and they'll all plan that. And as soon as it's sent in, where do you think it's going? To the enemies. The same thing happened in Africa when the children were starving. Bags and bags and tons of rice fell off planes, and armed men gathered it. And the wee boys and girls starving never got it. That's the world we're living in. That's the reality. And we need to not be influenced by propaganda. But we need to be influenced tonight with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is our absolute. It is the authority. And we need to be praying for Israel. If you want blessed, pray for Israel. God's under an obligation to bless you when you pray for Israel, for God cannot change his mind about his word. Think of that. He never changes his mind about a word. I remember when my wife was expecting our first baby, there was a minister said to me, it'll be a boy. And I said, well, it's not important. As long as the wee one's healthy when it comes, I don't mind. And then when our Hannah was born, and I told him, I knew God changed in that, he says. Well, I knew God never changed. But I knew any prophecies he would make me from there on, to take them as a pinch of salt. Amen, it's not the truth. He was only guessing. No, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying, praise God. Let's read 1 Chronicles 17, verse 21. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make their name of greatness, of terribleness, by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. So God is saying that there is no one like them. They are unique. Amen. In prayer, David is saying there's no other nation. David here is saying that in prayer, there's no other nation like the nation of Israel. And God set out to redeem them. That's what God set out to do. God set out to redeem them. And even tonight, while we stand here, God has still a plan for them. Isn't that wonderful? Still has a plan for them. And he says, if I forget you, I'll forget my own right hand. That's what God said. And God's not going to forget his own right hand. Not wonderful. He portrays Israel as a nation set apart from other nations. There is one unchangeable fact that emerges in this text. That fact is that Israel is unique from every other nation. Now, I'll not get to all the prophecies tonight because there's 16 tremendous prophetic facts about Israel. And that's only me researching a wee bit. You could dig in deeper. There's a lot could be said about Israel. The remarkable fact is that Israel did not choose this uniqueness, but God chose it. You did not choose to come to God. I did not choose to come to God. Remember this evening. It was God's choosing. The Bible's absolutely clear. Whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to become the sons of God. It was God's choosing before the foundation of the world you had received. Now the Holy Spirit moved you and you came to salvation. We know that. We're not denying that. That's a fact. But it was God that chose you before you even knew it. It was God that chose me before I even knew it. And God chose Israel. Israel never chose themselves. God chose them. And the Lord loves them. Just like the Lord loves you and me. And there's one thing about God's love. Our love could be like that there. God's love doesn't change. God's love remains the same. Amen. Look also here in 1 Chronicles 17, verse 20 to 22. O Lord, there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with their ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, Israel, whom God waked to redeem to be his own people, to make their name of the greatness and terribleness, but driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever. And thou, Lord, becamest their God. So God is saying he made them a people forever. Now you can't do that with that and throw it in the bin and say it's over, because it's not. God's word's the truth. Amen. We cannot, you know, we to pray effectively for Israel, we need to know what we're praying. We need to understand the blessing that God prophesied on them. The choosing that God chose them with. The uniqueness that they're a nation like no other nation. And let me say tonight, I don't care what these other nations and countries and all these other boys do. They will not be in Israel. They cannot do it. If they can, we have no Bible. Our Bible's useless if they can. Because God says they won't. And you know, if you went into all the history and all them different wars, how God saved them before, and God will save them again. God will save them. They're unique people with a unique destiny, expressing the uniqueness of their God. Now, here's another point as well. Israel, now, they might recognize the Messiah tonight, but they recognize there's one God back in the Old Testament. Now, all these other nations tonight are worshiping false gods. They're worshiping false gods. And they're worshiping false prophets. But Israel was united with true prophets. And they came from true prophets. That's the difference. Amen. Now, there's distinct features also about Israel. So the first thing, they're unique. And there's another thing, they have distinct features. Distinct features. We see here God's promised Israel while they were gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai. This is them coming out. God brought them out of Egypt, Sinai, before he had given them the law or the commandments. God tells Moses to inform the Israelites. Here's what he says in Exodus 19, verse 6. He's to inform them. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Never done that one or nation. But he'd done it with Israel. And a holy nation, never done with another nation, but he done it with Israel. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Amen. Now we could say tonight we're spiritual Israel. We know Paul says that, because we're born again. How many believes that? And we are kings and priests unto God, according to Revelation. Is that the Bible? But God has said it here with the people of Israel. A kingdom of priests unto the Lord. Now, you know that I love to go in the Old Testament and bring out Christ. And when you take all the things that Moses said for them to do, the tabernacle, every single part of it, you can preach the gospel from, plainly. When you take the book of Leviticus, every single thing they've done, you can preach the gospel from it today, plainly. They had the word of God. Even though with the Old Testament, they had the word of God. There's no other nation to whom God has ever spoken those words. We know physically speaking, the Messiah came through the Jews. Physically speaking. We know that. Now there's the physical part. You know that Jesus was born of a woman. How many knows that? It actually says made of a woman. That's the Bible. So that physical part came from that Jewish line. Now we know God was in him. But God can't die. But Christ died. We know that. Now think of this evening. This is the uniqueness of these people of Israel. That God chose them, that the very lineage which Christ would come could be traced right back to Abraham. And your Bible places it. You've only to go into the genealogy and you can go right back. That's where it come from. Paul listed in Romans, you know, and a number of distinctive features which apply only to Israel and to the Jews. And speaking about the kinsman, whom he calls Israelites, Paul makes the following points in Romans 9, verse 4 to 5. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? And the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Here's a whole list pertaining to Israel. Verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came? So the concerning the flesh, Christ came of that line. Who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. That's the line he come from. And that's the way he had to come, because the Bible said he would. Now we know that God's blood was in him. We know all that. We're not denying all that. But we cannot do away with the facts here in the Bible. It's like when a man says, Jesus' ministry began when he's 30 and it lasted 3.5 years. And people say, don't believe that. Well, the Bible says that. The Bible says it. And I don't know if some people might agree with it. It won't make a difference if Scripture says it. That's the way it's written. 3.5 years. Now, we know there was things done before, but that's the way it's worded in the Bible. And we can't change it. And it's worded here in the Bible as concerning the flesh. That's the way it came. And we can't change it. We're not changing it. That's a fact of Scripture. And that's all for a reason and a purpose in the plan of God. God, you see, said that he'll build a temple and he'll come to it. That was a temple. God came to his temple. That temple was Christ. And God came to it. That's why the Bible says God was in him. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was in that man in fullness. Now we know there's great prophets right up into this century. We saw a great prophet of God, but we cannot say that God was in them in that measure in the fullness. We can't say it, but he was in Christ in fullness. Amen. His coming was not through any other people but the Jews. And you know, tonight here's a tremendous scripture, and I'm not going to hold this long tonight. Salvation's after the Jews. You say, brother, where's that? John chapter 4. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's of the Jews. I'm only making these points that we can appreciate Israel. That we can appreciate them. That we can be thankful that Christ came from that lineage and we're saved because of that. That we can be appreciative of what God used for us to be saved. We know it's ultimately Christ, but we cannot deny the way he came. And how he came. And we need to be appreciative of Israel tonight. Another distinction feature about Israel is revealed. And it's the most important statement about the Jewish people in John chapter 4 here, verse 22. We worship, ye worship, you know not what, but we know what we worship for salvations of the Jews. And then you know Jesus went on to say the true worshippers will worship in spirit and truth. But this scripture's still true. Now, this last statement consists of just five words. salvation's of the Jews. That's what it says. And you know, it is, because Christ came from that line. So you could say it's a compound meaning of the Jews natural, and then Christ came of that line. Do you see that, what I'm saying? Now think of this for a moment. We owe ultimately everything to Jesus Christ. We know that tonight. We know that we must acknowledge here and owe a lot to the Jewish people. We have to acknowledge that as well. Without them, there'd be no patriarchs. Without them, there'd be no prophets. Without them, there'd be no apostles. Without them, there'd be no Bible. And without them, there'd be no Savior. So there's five facts tonight from Bible scriptures that we can appreciate because of the Jews that we wouldn't have had without them. Salvation's of the Jews. Then you have the prophetic confirmation. You have the prophetic confirmation. Here also is another reason why Israel, the Jews, are absolutely unique. Their entire history was foretold and prophesied. The whole complete history was foretold. Not only was it foretold in prophecy back then, but you know it's foretold right to the end. And God has read, even right into the book of Revelation, and God has said that the two witnesses are going to go to Israel and seal them. And there's going to be 144,000 of them sealed and saved. Now you know, is it the Mormons, they think they're the 144,000, but I have news for them. They're not. Bad news for them. They're not. Do you know why? Because they don't meet the requirement of the Word of God. It's the Jews. God's going to seal them because he said he would. The entire history is all in prophecy. The fact is not true of any other nation. There's no other nation completely foretold that got in prophecy, but the Jews are. The whole history of the Jewish people from Abraham onwards was foretold in the prophecy in the Bible. There's 16 stages showing the outworking of prophetic predictions, prophecies in the Bible concerning Israel. And that's only briefly looking at it. You could probably even count more. And this is all about Israel. The first three of them was given to Abraham. Now I'm going to close shortly because I want us time to pray in Genesis 15, verse 13 to 14. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And we know that Israel was down in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. And we know before they left Egypt, they never went out of Egypt empty-handed. And forget about these films and these shows that you watch, because I can tell you, when God finished with Pharaoh, he was glad to see them going. I'll tell you that right now. The plagues that God rained on them, he was glad to see them gone. He smote their cattle. He turned the water into blood. He done all them plagues on Egypt. All of them. And Pharaoh was glad to see them getting out of Israel. Not only was he glad to get them, see them going, but the women, the Egyptian women, give them the looking glasses. How many knows that's the Bible? And you know, later on, they took them and made a golden calf and so forth. How many knows all that? That's the Bible. But they went out with great substance. They didn't crawl out battered and bruised and empty-handed, limping out. That's nonsense. They went out by shout. God brought them out with a strong hand. Not only did God brought them out, whose bones did they carry out? Joseph's. He said, when you're going out, take my bones with you. How many knows that's the Bible? That's what God done. He said, I don't want them left down in Egypt. Get them out with us when you're gone. And they took his bones out. And I tell you, God brought them out with a mighty hand. He brought them out with wealth. You could take a real spiritual type for that tonight for the natural church. Thinking, you know, we're down in the night and it's all over. And the rapture take place. I don't believe that for 1 minute. There has to be something happening before the church goes. That's where something took place. And God will do it. It'll be like a brother Andrew preached, it'll be one of them suddenly moments. Nobody had a prayer meeting for it. It just God just done it. Is that right? Well, not wonderful what he said. Who, well, you weren't in a prayer meeting when you got saved. But when God spoke to you, it was a suddenly moment. God done it. I tell you, I wasn't anyway. I was in jail. I was thinking of committing suicide, actually. When I had a suddenly moment. It had nothing to do with it. God done it. And I tell you, the thing that the Lord did will remain done. That's the thing about it. Amen. It's like two people that joins together in the Lord. It said, let no man pull asunder what God's joined. It's not the Bible. Aren't you glad God gave you a moment? And the Lord's on your side and my side tonight. It's not great. Israel's deliverance with wealth from Egypt. Their possession in the land of Canaan. Acts Genesis 13. And then I'm going to stop. Genesis chapter 13, verse 12 to 17. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But when the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. So that's every road. That's all the four corners. Amen. For all the land which is thou seest to thee, I will give it unto thy seed forever. So when you hear an envoy on the radio or the television arguing that a certain patch is not Israel's, all you can say is lie. That's what you can tell them. For God says it is. Every road you look, he'll give it to them. Now you can't. There's not one thing you can do about this. This is the word of God. And I'll tell you something. I reckon when Israel's finished for these boys over here, they'll be glad to get quit, as the boy would say. They'll be glad to get quit. They'll regret the start. That's what they need. Amen? And they're on the radio, and we have an old boy on, I'll not name him here, but you'll know him. I'll describe him to you as you'll know him. He's a beard with grey patches in it. So you know who I'm talking about. And he's on the streets today with his microphone. Somebody should have took it off him and told him to go home. And he's on about innocent babies and innocent children. But there's no mention of the children that was cut in pieces. The Israeli children, he didn't talk about that. Sure he didn't. It's the exact same thing in this country. The genocide that was here for years. When people went out to the work and they're blew to bits. That's what happened here for years. And not a thing done about it. Until they went over to Britain. And they done it a wee bit over there. Then they wakened up, didn't they? That's the fact. That's the fact of it. May God strengthen. I want you to stir you tonight because you're going to pray for Israel. That's my motive. And it's working. Praise God. May God bless them and strengthen them. Look at verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for a week. A month, forever. There's the word of God. I tell you, it near said his name there. Better watch. Starts with an E. Praise God. I tell you. Glory. Praise the Lord. Verse 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Can you count that? Not a chance of it. Amen. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Hallelujah. And you spiritualize that tonight for the true believer. God will give you. Amen. Are you ready to possess the land? For the Lord. Amen. Ye sons of Zion. Hallelujah. Let's come before the throne of grace tonight. Let's lift up the people of Israel. And let's bless the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. And never forget my father telling me, and we, Lynn Jacobs also from England, was in the very same meeting. When Morris Sorello came to England and held a convention many years ago, He got up onto the platform and he said, I hear the Beatles is running about saying that God's dead. Now, there's a lot of boys that praise the Beatles, but I'm not one of them. You know what you do with a Beatle? Figure it out for yourself. But Morris Arella got up, but the Beatles were mocking God. They were mocking God. And there's a man there with one leg shorter than the other, and my father was in the same house with him. And Lynn Jacobs knew the man as well. And he brought him up to the front and he put him in a chair. And he said, the Beatles is running about saying God's dead. And he said, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's still alive. And he prayed for him. And the short leg jumped out. And he jumped off the chair. And they couldn't get him stopped running. Because he run all over the building and those thousands in it. They couldn't get him stopped. That's the power of God. God confirmed his word. I believe Morris Rather was a prophet of God. Do you believe that? I absolutely believe it. He was a Jew as well. He had a tremendous experience. I haven't got time tonight to go into his whole testimony. I tell you what, God used him. You know, he broke out of the home and it was snowing. And the wee woman that taught him in that home, he landed at the front door in the snow. And she took him in. And you know how God showed him a vision. And he saw 2 feet. And he looked down through the 2 feet marks through the clouds. And he saw into hell. And God said, step into the 2 feet prints. And his feet fitted the 2 feet prints exactly. And he says, I'm going to sign you. Now I'm only telling you roughly what I can mind it. But I tell you, God used him. God used that man. There's men that might have done things we don't agree with. That won't change one thing for me. I know God used them. Amen. And God of Abraham still alive tonight. I want you to be encouraged to pray a prayer that will grip heaven with authority and move the hand of God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's come before the throne of grace this evening and praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the word of God. Lord, we've seen in the word of God how you chose the children of Israel. We saw one other night how you blinded them, but they're only blinded for a time. So that we, which were a wild branch, could be grafted in. We're so glad for that tonight. We're so glad for your mercy and so glad for your grace. We're so glad in love and mercy you sought us and you bought us. What a mighty Savior. We pray again tonight for the land of Israel. And we pray for the people of Israel. That the hand of God will mightily move upon them. That they'll have the wisdom above others. And that you will mightily move them and mightily keep them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Oh God, stretch your mighty arm forth and deliver thy people again in Jesus Christ's name. Smite the enemy, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Bless each one in this house. Move in our homes. Move in our children, our wives, the husband, the daughter, the niece, the nephew. Lord, we pray that you'll move in a mighty way. We ask you for the salvation of souls. We pray in this land of Ulster that there might be yet an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that to defeat the works of Satan. But, oh God, you'll give your people the victory in Jesus' precious name. Strengthen each one in this room tonight. Bless each one. Bless all that they'll touch. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless our substance tonight. And, oh God, have your way, we pray. Lord, we know that you can save by the few or by the many. We know that your arm is not shortened. We know that your ear is not heavy. But your ear is ever open to our cry. And you hear us tonight when we come in the name, oh, the wonderful name that is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're asking it all tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your people. Bless the services that led. Lord, I pray everyone that will get into this pulpit, that the power of God will saturate them and come on the mic line in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless our brother Beecham tonight. We ask you'll strengthen him, you'll bless him, and continue to use him wherever he would go. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for your own people in this fellowship, the sick tonight, laid aside tonight. Lord, will you touch them? Will you heal them? Will you do them good? In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Start a move of God in this place. Stir our hearts. Rid us of the fear of man. And help us to love one another as you have loved us, I pray. Bind us together, Lord, with your love and your presence. In Jesus' precious name. And meet every need, spoken and unspoken. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Father, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord tonight and pray. Amen.